Okay, it's 4 o'clock, so I'd like to call the April 18th, 2023 Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order. I'd like to thank everybody for being here today. And Melissa, would you do roll call, please?
Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Commissioner LeMay? Vice Chair Laird? Commissioner Carr? Chair Mason?
Here. I'll leave with the Pledge of Allegiance. Doesn't appear that we have any call to the audience, so I'll close that and proceed on to the staff liaison report. Mr. Gephardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Just a few items for you this afternoon. Council meeting, we have a council meeting tomorrow night. On one of the items on the agenda is requesting council to approve the town strategic plan, so just wanted to mention that as an item to note. Wanted to provide a quick town manager search update. We did bring in, town council brought in a couple candidates to interview as finalists. I believe that will also, as that was a late add on tomorrow night's agenda, I believe, to enter into negotiations with a candidate. So that process is progressing. And then finally, just wanted to provide a budget update. We are, as you can see, that's one of the items on tonight's agenda. We are in the middle of budget season. We've been in the middle of it for a while, it feels like. We have council member one-on-ones firing up this Friday and then continuing into next week, where we will be sitting down with council members and going through a detailed dive into the budget and asking about any questions or concerns that they may have or comments that they have that they want to see implemented or integrated into the budget moving forward. Additionally, May 10th and 11th, we have study sessions with the council, and that's an opportunity for the public to also sit in and listen to the budget presentations from various departments, and also have council provide feedback at that point in time as well. Moving forward, looking towards, I believe, a tentative budget approval at the beginning of June and then adoption in the middle of June. Additionally, and I was going to mention it in my presentation, but I'll just take a quick moment to mention it now. We are going to be providing, we did provide each of you with the town manager's recommended budget, but we will be providing detailed line item budget reports for you as well, so that they come right out of our financial software so that you can see, dive deeper into the line item details of the budget at your leisure. That should be distributed either tomorrow or Thursday. We'll be presenting distributing hard copies of that for you so you can write notes on it, and we'll be discussing the budget again at next month's meeting as well. So lots of budget, until adoption. I just want to make sure that you as a commission are comfortable and that certainly the town council is comfortable with the budget moving forward as we look into next year. So that concludes my comments this afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. So now we'll proceed with item one. So, Melissa, would you read that, please?
Review and approval of the March 21st, 2023 regular session meeting minutes.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Do I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
A motion to approve from Commissioner Carr and a second by Commissioner Fortunato. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion pass. Proceed to item two. Melissa, would you read that, please?
Discussion and possible recommendation of draft public safety personnel retirement system pension funding policy for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024.
Mr. Gephardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. So based upon discussion and feedback at the last Budget and Finance Commission meeting, I have made the recommended adjustment to really cap the additional contribution on the part of the town to $2.5 million. So what that includes is that's not the total contribution, the employer contribution. That would be the annual required contribution, which includes the normal cost component, but then an additional contribution in addition to that normal cost contribution as well. So that's included in there. As you'll recall, in prior iterations or drafts, that was a percentage based component to the policy, and now it's just a fixed amount, which should provide protection to the town in future budgets that it's not going to increase based upon the town's payroll increasing. So that adjustment and amendment has been made, and I'm open to any other comments or feedback, or if the commission is comfortable recommending approval to town council, and we can get it scheduled on a future agenda. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Okay, so can I have a motion to present the PSPRS policies to mayor and council?
I make a motion.
They second?
Second.
Okay. Commissioner Carr has made the motion, and Commissioner Fortunato seconded the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion pass. Melissa, could you please take us to item three?
Item three, discussion of town manager's recommended budget for fiscal year 2023 to 2024.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. This is the most exciting part of tonight's agenda, in my opinion. I'll be do a quick overview, quick presentation on the town manager's recommended budget. Again, we'll have discussion on this budget at the next meeting as well. So I know you haven't had a lot of time to do a deep dive into it. Certainly between this month's meeting and next month's meeting, that should afford you the opportunity to do so. But I just kind of wanted to hit the highlights for you to give you kind of a sense and lay a foundation for what you'll be or what you have been reviewing. And so with that, I'll kind of, I'll make a few more comments, I guess. So the manager's recommended budget's included in your packet. It's an initial recommendation of next fiscal year intended to generate discussion and feedback of spending priorities. And it's the culmination of the cooperative effort of staff in determining and establishing service levels for next year. I also need to note that in the next day or so, just reiterate, you'll be receiving a line item detail report that will facilitate a digging deeper into the details of the budget document. Council will receive that report as well. So with that, I'll dive right into my presentation. So the total budget is $147.9 million, which is a 0.1% increase over the current year budget, or $185,000 approximately. The general fund sits at about $56 million, which is a 5.5% increase from this current year's budget of $53 million. Capital improvements are at $49.3 million, which is about a third of the overall budget. And then the budget, probably most importantly, is structurally balanced. So what that means is that we're utilizing ongoing revenues for ongoing costs, operational costs, and utilizing one-time revenues for one-time expenditures, primarily capital.
So that's really critical. That's obviously a policy of the town. Some of the major trends or forces, I wanted to hit on that impacting the budget. So there is some concern about a slump or mild recession in the economy. So that's been factored in. Although we anticipate Arizona to fend a little bit better or do a little bit better regionally than the national economic picture. High inflation is a continuing theme that we're having to wrestle with. Local sales tax and state shared revenues are anticipated to grow due to that, which is benefiting the town. But on the other side of the equation, we're seeing some exponential cost increases in certain areas such as asphalt and vehicles. Rising interest rates, that's having an impact as well. We don't anticipate interest rates to keep rising. We do anticipate that there's going to be a leveling off, so that's factored in. But what we're seeing is the impact of those interest rates, especially on single-family residential housing, is certainly having an impact. So we're not seeing as much permitting activity this year, and that's factored in for next year as well. We don't anticipate interest rates receding significantly or any types of impacts that would really cause permitting to ramp up again. So we do anticipate a continued malaise in the development of single-family residential housing. And then lastly, the end of the American Rescue Plan Act funds, we do anticipate spending all of those funds in this upcoming year, or the remaining funds, I should say. And then the winding down of the Parks and Rec bond issuance, we anticipate spending the rest of those funds as well. So you're seeing the impact of that really on capital. That's why the capital is about a third of the overall budget. Future budgets, that should recede a little bit unless there's another major project that comes along. So again, just kind of an overview here, just providing some quick high-level comparisons of the recommended budget to the current budget. What you're seeing here in both charts really is personnel, O&M, and capital increasing slightly, capital having the largest increase at about 6% year over year, a decline in debt service of about 14.4%, which is good. Debt service is very manageable for the size of budget that we have, and then a slight decline in contingency as well, but still really healthy contingency levels. $5 million in the general fund, $2.5 million in the capital fund. We feel like that's more than adequate for next fiscal year to handle inflation, continued inflation and that sort of thing. Okay, so So funding annual step and merit increases per the town's recently completed classification and compensation plan is included in the budget. And really the idea here is to keep attracting the highest level of quality employees that the town can to stay and remain competitive in the workplace on that front, because we are a service-based organization. That's really critical. There's a continued ongoing emphasis in wellness and early detection for town employees and their dependents, which encourages a proactive approach to managing personal health. And as a result, the town is anticipating minimal increases in premiums for fiscal year 23-24 in medical costs. Just as a side, the town doesn't really have direct control over claims costs, but the town is always encouraging health and wellness of its employee base. And you know, sometimes, you do have bad claims years. This year has been one of those. But with that said, we have very healthy reserves in our medical self-insurance fund. And that may carry over into next fiscal year. We don't really know. But I think the bottom line here that I want to stress is that despite the increase in claims costs, that's not really impacting premiums significantly, because of the work that our health benefits consultant does, CBIZ, on our behalf in negotiating premiums with our provider, but also the strong relationship and history that we have with our health benefits provider, our insurance provider as well, or providers, They understand that that you're going to have peaks and valleys with claims. So I did want to kind of hit on, we do have several new positions that are included in next year's budget. So it includes two new full-time positions in the Innovation and Technology Department. An additional business systems analyst is necessary to support the growing use of technology in the organization's operations, with special emphasis on the needs of the police department. And then we also have a security and compliance administrator, which will protect the organization by implementing and managing cybersecurity tools, as well as responding to and remediating cybersecurity incidents and threats. And this position will also ensure that the town's IT systems are compliant with and with recommended practices, and that action plans are completed for all regulatory agencies. So I don't know if you're aware, but we have seen an increase or a spike in threats in terms of cyber attacks and things of that nature. Certainly, TUSD has been in the news lately for having a ransomware attack, and so this we really view that as a critical position for the town moving forward to mitigate that risk. In OVPD, the recommended budget includes an additional police officer, which will allow the police chief to keep up with increases in calls for service in the community and maintain overall response times. In Parks and Rec, a new full-time parks maintenance worker, too, will accommodate the addition of the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve, while a part-time park monitor will accommodate new acreage and facilities coming online with the completion of the latest phase of Naranja Park improvements. In Public Works, it includes a full-time transit supervisor to assist in driver management and review, service scheduling and operations and program compliance, ensuring we continue meeting the needs of our community in this critical and important service. And in the town court, we have a part-time court security manager to replace the phased-out volunteer security services provided by Arizona Rangers. Savings from the phase-out of these services will help offset the cost of the new position. And this higher-level position is needed to assist the court in keeping the building, court staff, and patrons safe, as well as maintaining compliance with the security standards set by the Arizona Supreme Court. So as I mentioned earlier, rising costs and inflation is certainly a theme in this budget. If we don't have current information for the Tucson metro area, which is certainly the area that our town resides in. However, we do have information from the Phoenix Mesa Scottsdale area, and if you're aware, that area has experienced the highest level of inflation across the entire nation. We are seeing some receding there, so that's a good thing, but it's certainly not where we would like it to be or would want it to be, and that is certainly impacting us. Our town is not in that region or that area specifically, but statewide, that has an impact on Tucson as well, certainly. So I just wanted to highlight some of the areas specifically where we're seeing increases. O&M, I mentioned 5.5% is included in the budget. We feel like that's actually fairly reasonable, considering some of the increases that we've seen in O&M costs. So where have we seen those increases? Well, gasoline, public safety equipment, field supplies and technology, professional services, and more. It really is impacting the town really across the total organization. So we have been doing our best to manage those in the current year budget and manage spending, but we're not really seeing significant relief. We thought we were going to see, I'll highlight gas prices. We thought we were going to see some relief there, and we have seen a little bit, but now we've seen it spike back up again, and that just has a ripple effect throughout all of the other areas of the town in terms of O&M and then also capital investments. So we're also seeing so for next fiscal year, we're going to try to maintain our higher level of gasoline or fuel costs, but we're also we've also included some increases in software and technology and medical claims costs, as I mentioned earlier, and then Central Arizona project water costs as well. is an area that we've included increases for just necessarily to protect the town's water supply. Capital investments, wanted to highlight that. Costs for capital projects are higher than predicted just a year ago. Asphalt specifically, we're seeing explosive cost growth. The state's shared gas taxes aren't sufficient to cover those increases. And so, you know, moving forward, we're going to be looking at infusion of general fund resources that will be necessary should high costs continue, specifically to augment our highway fund. Availability of contractors and subcontractors also continues to be unpredictable, which can significantly impact the cost of capital investments. So the fiscal year 23-24 recommended budget includes additional project contingency funds, and I mentioned earlier $2.5 million in contingency for the capital fund specifically. And then pavement preservation, again, asphalt pavement preservation, we're seeing pretty significant growth there. So we've increased our pavement preservation program by about $650,000 to $2.5 million for next fiscal year over the current fiscal year. So let's give you a sense of what that kind of looks like. Okay, so more capital fund information here, just some highlights of some projects that we'll be wrapping up and completing next fiscal year. With more than $300 million in town assets, continuing investments in existing infrastructure is vital. The recommended budget includes a robust capital improvement program to address roadway repair and maintenance, building maintenance, infrastructure improvements, and water system enhancements. Expenditures in the capital fund total $26.3 million for fiscal year 23-24, which includes $14.5 million for council-approved investments in Naranja Park. The capital fund has a contingency of $2.5 million, as mentioned earlier, budgeted for next year to ensure that there is capacity to respond to the continuing uncertainty and volatility of the construction market. Looking forward to future years, there is some concern, kind of talking about our five-year outlook, there is some concern that our capital needs are outpacing our ability to fund those needs. So that will be something that we'll need to address moving forward in future budget years. As for the current year, though, we're in a very strong position to address the needs of the town and complete the projects that are already underway. So the budget, the recommended budget addresses or is tightly aligned and supports the strategic plan. As I mentioned earlier this evening, the strategic plan is on tomorrow night's agenda for approval or adoption by the town council. That strategic plan has certain areas or themes in it that the budget supports. The first area is efficient and effective government. And as a service-based organization, recruiting and retaining top talent is foundational to the town's ability to provide quality public services. This year, the town finalized a comprehensive classification compensation study that adjusted employee pay grades to remain competitive. The fiscal year 23-24 recommended budget continues this commitment to employees with normal step increases and merit adjustments for all eligible town employees. Additionally, there's implementation of a digital dashboard and information sharing platform that's included in the recommended budget. And then the recommended budget reaffirms the town's commitment to peak performance, the peak performance process improvement, which includes tools, training, and methodologies. Under the theme of economic vitality, it continues support of the CED department, Community and Economic Development departments, OV Next Steps initiatives with the Business Retention and Expansion Program, and it includes continued capacity for targeted tourism, attraction, and sponsorship opportunities. Under the theme of culture and recreation, the recommended budget will focus on investing and maintaining Oro Valley's recreational assets, investing in and maintaining Oro Valley's trail system, and increasing resident involvement in multi-generational recreational activities and programming. The town will spend the remaining proceeds from its $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance in the coming fiscal year, again completing the Naranja Park project, as well as other amenities that are included with that. In public safety, it continues to prioritize funding for the health, wellness, and safety of OVPD officers. Another area of focus for our police department is accreditation, which furthers the department's implementation of best practices and ensures continued checks and balances in operations and processes, including accreditation that establishes best practices for evidence storage. So that's included in the budget. Planning and discussions have been set in motion to address the police department's need for an improved main station. So while that is not included in the budget for next year, we just mention it because of the need there and recognizing that there is going to be planning moving forward in next fiscal year to accommodate that moving in future years. The recommended budget includes $1.5 million for an expansion and improvement of the town's court building. This project addresses critical lobby deficiencies and space constraints and will vastly improve the overall efficiency and safety of court operations. An additional $1.5 million will be budgeted in the following fiscal year to complete the project. So over the two fiscal years, we anticipate the need there to be about $3 million. Under the theme of roads, water, and town assets, the recommended budget includes resources to continue funding the town's highly successful pavement management program at $2.5 million to ensure the town continues to maintain its overall pavement condition index of 76. This is a $650,000 increase over fiscal year 22-23 due to the increasing asphalt costs that we're experiencing. And then the operating budget of the water utility fund is increasing 3.7% or roughly $665,000 due primarily to increases in the Central Arizona project water delivery costs relating to the Colorado River Tier 2A shortage. Water system capital improvements total $11.9 million in the recommended budget. And then lastly, in land use and design, nearly $300,000 is included in the recommended budget to begin the process of updating the town's Your Voice, Our Future general plan. That process has already kicked off and will continue on into next year and following years as well. And then financial stability and sustainability, the recommended budget includes a transfer of $10 million in excess general fund reserves to the capital fund, providing needed resources for council priorities as well as normal maintenance and replacement projects. And additionally, the budget maintains despite that $10 million transfer, the budget maintains a 30% general fund reserve target established by town council approved policy. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll be happy to entertain any questions or discussion that the commission may have. Thank you.
Do we have any questions from the commission? Commissioner Fortunato?
On your capital projects, you actually have firm quotes for next year on some of the projects, or is this best guess estimates at this point?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Fortunato, that's a little both. Certain projects are well underway, Naranja Park and so forth. So we do have very firm estimates in certain areas. In other areas, not so much. And so we're doing our best guess based upon historicals and whatever. Vehicles is a challenge. I think the issue there is really getting the vehicles in. There's just such a delay and backlog with supply issue constraints and so forth. But yeah, it's a little bit of a mix. We do our best, and we do try to budget in some contingency or some just to allow for inflation of certain projects where we don't have hard bids. We're utilizing best estimates for a lot of projects that are not currently underway. For the stuff that's underway, I think in many cases we do have hard bids. So.
So on the projects themselves, the ones hard bids or not, have you added contingency cost and an inflation cost? Piled on to each other?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Fortunato, yeah, we do add contingency, a little bit of contingency in there for inflation, yes. So contingency covers inflation. I mean, that's really what the purpose is. It's not two separate issues that we're dealing with there. So yeah, that's really what the purpose of the contingency is, to allow for inflation or allow for it's not just inflation. Sometimes, again, we just don't know until we go out to the market what the market's going to support, you know, or what that bid is going to come in at. So there's just until we actually go out and see what it's going to cost, what that bid comes in at, we do our best.
And on the IT spending, I know we're going to hire a couple of guys or gals to help out, but does that include software updates, new software, hardware, and is that by department, or do we have a line item that says IT?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, Commissioner Fortunato, so the IT software, a lot of products are moving to the cloud, and so when they do that, we actually don't own the underlying asset on our servers. We actually, it's a subscription-based product or whatnot, and so it moves it from a capital line into an operational line. Our IT information and technology department has an inventory of all of our software products that we utilize, especially and then again specifically to subscription-based products, and that's included in the operating budget. So it's not, I think there are some, there's a limited amount of, just a small amount of capital, IT-related capital projects that are presented in the budget, but that's because, that's really by design. It's really because most of those costs have migrated and found their way into the operating budget, which is in the Information and Technology Department.
Commissioner Carr, do you have any questions?
I have several. So for the funds where the expenses exceed revenue, like transit, water, how do you cover those shortfalls?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Carr. So where revenues are exceeding budget, typically we have contingency that allows us to cover that. Also, sometimes what we see is that there's actually capacity created either through personnel. When someone separates, that creates a little bit of budget capacity that we can tap into and utilize. Also, sometimes you see certain lines that are exceeding budget, but other lines are not. And so we have our town management and staff executive team. We are very focused on spending. What we do is, we try to look at the big picture. So we look at it from a department standpoint or from a fund standpoint and look at, okay, if one line, say gasoline is exceeding budget, can we make that up with another line that's a little bit under budget and balance it that way? Those are kind of the approaches that we utilize for dealing with budget overages on spending.
And then I had a question on the health plan. I know you said it's self-insured plan.
Yeah.
Has that always been the case, or is this just because it's cheaper given what, traditional health insurance plans are these days?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, Commissioner Carr, so what we have is what's considered really a partial self-insurance. We're not fully self-insured, we're partially self-insured. And what that basically means it allows the town. We started this back, I believe, in, I want to say 2013. It's before my time, so I don't know the exact year, but we've been partially self-insured for a while now. And we did that because we had grown large enough as a town I'm trying to remember what the term is, but to be credible, that's the term, to be credible for the insurance company to rate us or determine what or estimate what our claims are going to be. The impact or the benefit from the town standpoint in doing that is when we went from fully self-insured to partially self-insured, we took on some risk But we also retain the benefit of insurance premiums or claims not really hitting what the provider or claims provider anticipated us to be at. So when you're fully self-insured, the claims provider, we'll say United Healthcare in this instance, because that's who our health insurance company is, they retain the risk of the claims being high, but then they also retain all the profits. And so when we went to self-insurance, we took on some of that risk, and then we stripped away some of those profits and retained those savings with the town. That was the benefit or the trade-off there. When I say partially self-insured, we do have what's considered reinsurance or catastrophic insurance, both at the aggregate level for the town-wide as a whole, but also at the individual, the specific individual level as well. So if claims hit a certain target, again, if we're having a bad claims year, once they hit that target, the reinsurance, which is basically insurance on insurance, kicks in that secondary insurance provider will reimburse the town for the amounts that it pays in claims above what that target is. And so so the town is protected against significant liabilities, but there is a little bit of additional risk that the town has assumed in that. So hopefully that makes sense. Does that address your question? Okay, thank you.
And then I had a question on the partnerships. I saw that, you know, the total line item for that is $410,000. I was curious what the town gets for that money for those partnerships.
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, Commissioner Carr, so that $410,000 I believe is just for Visit Tucson. There are other partnerships that the town is involved in and invested in, which are not typically not to that degree, but Visit Tucson, this has been an item of discussion with town council. It's something that we will revisit. I think there's some interest in revisiting that partnership and looking at that moving forward. This current fiscal year included in the budget was an additional position for tourism, which was intended to allow the town to really look at more targeted tourism attraction in the current fiscal year, and that's continuing on into next fiscal year. We're looking at metrics for Visit Tucson and seeing what value and benefit they provide given the investment that we're providing them as a town. So I think, you know, and that's going to be an ongoing discussion moving forward in this current budget process and future budget processes, I anticipate. Because, again, I think this is something that the town council is interested in. It's certainly something that they've been asking about. So it's really about, we have an investment in Visit Tucson. They're supposed to be, you know, they really provide services to the Tucson region as a whole. But then what specifically, what value and benefit do they bring to the town for that investment? Can we develop metrics or things of that nature that we can really measure that? And so I think there's some interest in really diving into that moving forward.
And I have just one more. So for the interest income, I noticed that most of the funds have a very big increase. For instance, the highway funds going from 8K budget to 70K.
Yeah.
Driving that big jump in interest income for this year?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, Commissioner Carr, that's another good question. So what we're seeing townwide, we've been in just this low interest rate environment for a long, long time. And then with inflation and what moves that the Fed is making, that's really driving interest rates up. And so so the benefit of that from the town standpoint is we are, in our investment portfolio, we are in very safe fixed income instruments. And so what we're seeing there is that as interest rates have risen, that's increasing the value and the benefit provided to the town on its investment portfolio. And so that's really what you're seeing there. Additionally, as interest rates rise, that tends to have a negative impact on your unrealized gains and losses, and that's something that we only book that once a year at the end of the year for the auditors when we mark our investment portfolio up to market.
We believe moving forward, especially as we look at next fiscal year, the interest rates, again, are not going to continue to rise. They're going to plateau and rise. In fact, I'm seeing, as the more articles I read and whatever, I'm seeing, because we're seeing inflation recede, I'm seeing a lot of prognosticators and whatever on the economy are saying, well, the Fed's only going to increase interest rates maybe one more time this year, and then they may actually decrease rates towards the tail end of this year, depending on economic indicators and what inflation is doing, if it's receding back towards where they want it to be. So as interest rates fall, the converse is actually the case. As interest rates rise, your unrealized gains or losses, your unrealized losses goes up. As interest rates fall, your unrealized gains goes up. And so I think that's really what we're trying to accomplish here is, we do have quite a bit of investments. Now, they're going to be spent down again on a lot of these capital needs and projects that we're undertaking. So they're going to be spent down this upcoming fiscal year. But with that said, we do have a pretty significant investment portfolio. And as interest rates have increased and risen, we're seeing a much greater return on that portfolio. So that's what you're seeing there.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I just have a couple. What was the impact of the compensation study on the general fund?
Oh, boy. I'm going to dial a friend here. Wendy, do you have that, the impact of the compensation study on the general fund?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me just review that because I did provide that information, I think, to Dave a few weeks ago. Let me see if I can just pull that up and give me a few minutes and we can circle back on that.
I noticed there were some items being spent for equipment in the restaurant in the community center. Mm-hmm. Have there been any plans or on what the future of the direction that the restaurant's going in?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, that's still up in the air. I don't think there's been a hard, firm decision on that yet. I think council's had some preliminary discussion about that, but I don't think there's been consensus as to what that looks like moving forward.
Thank you. On the transit vehicles, are the transit vehicles purchased mostly with grant funds and then you're just doing the match? Is that how that works?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, that's correct. I believe it's about an 80-20 ratio, so the feds kick in about 80% and the town roughly kicks in about 20%.
Those vehicles show up on your asset.
Correct, Mr. Okay. Chair, that's correct.
I noticed on page 2 of the budget where it shows expenditures and other uses, it has the under the water utility over on the under the capital project funds, $10 million. Was that the loan? I didn't think that took place, but.
Mr. Chair, there was not a loan that was made to the water utility, so. So you're looking at, I'm sorry.
It's on page 2 under fund balances.
Okay.
And it has water utility, $10 million under the capital project fund.
Yeah, I believe. I believe, Mr. Chair, that is the NERDS project. I could double check that, but I believe that's just the NERDS. That's the capital activity. For the NERDS, just want to make sure. Wendy, do you have that? I believe that's the NERDS project, but I'd have to double check that. The $10 million.
The $10 million. Oh, I'm sorry.
Reference that again. It's the water utility.
On page 2, fund balances under the expenditure and other uses.
And you're looking at the $2 million that's in the enterprise funds?
Mr. Chair, that's actually in our impact fee fund,
yes.
And so that is the NERDS project.
Yes. Yep. the transfer to the Water Utilities Impact Fee Fund to cover the operating funds portion for the NERS project.
That's coming from the water fund over to the capital projects fund?
That's correct, into the impact fee fund, yes, for water.
Okay, thank you. I also noticed that the admin fee that you charge water, that's gone up significantly since fiscal year 21. What's been the big factor of that increase?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. So last fiscal year, we undertook a study to really revise that formula. We had been utilizing a methodology that was quite honestly stale and hadn't been updated in quite some time. And so so we undertook that as a project to take a look and see whether that reflected reality. And as we went through it and tried to capture all of the different components of how the benefit that the water utility gains from being a part of the town in terms of overhead costs, for instance, legal services, town clerk services, finance services, HR services, all the various administrative departments that the town provides on behalf of the water utility. As we went through that, and especially information and technology, that had a pretty significant impact as well, probably the largest impact, honestly. So so as we went through that and redid the formula, that that caused us to redo that administrative cost to the water utility, and that happened this current fiscal year, and then we've added to it for next fiscal year as well, due to some specific projects that the water utility is undertaking, and then also just natural inflation and wage costs and stuff like that that's impacting it. So, or personnel costs in general. So that's where you're seeing that increase. In overall overhead, as town costs have increased in administrative departments and whatnot, that's having an impact in what we're charging the water utility to make that a fair arrangement.
Okay, thank you. The capital project list that you have in one of the appendix there, and I know you kind of, touched on this a little bit in your presentation, but is there at some point where you start to prioritize these projects that you have listed? So obviously there's a lot more projects than there is resources to handle them. So at what point does a prioritization of projects occur? And what you touched on earlier was, you know, it's a large amount too, and pay as you go is getting to be tough to do that. So what sort of plans are you looking at from the viewpoint of funding these projects?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, that's a good question. There's a lot to that one. The prioritization, let me address that one first. The prioritization occurs pretty early on. Staff certainly takes a look at that, but then we also gain the feedback of town council. We do a retreat every year in February. And then we also had even a CIP study session last month where we asked for further input from town council on their priorities and whether the projects that were presented or were proposed to be presented, whether, you know, in the budget, whether that aligned with town council priorities. So that's ongoing. And then we again, it's an annual process. So we reprioritize every single year. Look at what the needs are, look at what the funding availability and capability is for the town to support those needs. And then the delta, when there's not enough revenue or whatnot, then we have to look at either bringing in additional revenue, which will be a strategic plan item, for next fiscal year, the next 2 years, because the strategic plan covers a two-year window. But then also, even beyond that, looking at debt as a potential solution to filling that gap. And so these are all, you know, kind of That's kind of the process that we look at to determine what really is the best solution to filling that gap. Now, as it relates to the police station, I know that one, it's going to be difficult for the town to bring in an additional amount of revenue large enough to fully support the construction of the new police station, but also the ongoing maintenance and operations of that police station. So we have to look at that. That's a big ticket item, certainly. Again, that process, the discussion is just now kind of starting to kick off in earnest. And we'll look at, we'll probably have to look at a debt issuance for that. And, you know, we always try to look at things from an equity standpoint. And so from an equity standpoint, when you look at debt issuances, it's always important to say, well, you know, we would like to use pay-as-you-go, but sometimes pay-as-you-go is not always the best solution. And so from an equity standpoint, because the people who are paying to build up that reserve balance don't always gain the benefit and utilization that asset provides to them, because they, you know, their situation changes, they move out of the town or whatnot. So they've got an investment into something where they're not getting any value or utility out of it. So a lot of times debt is the best solution for that, because as you repay the debt, that's repaid in the future by the taxpayers who are gaining and reaping the benefit of the asset that they're paying for, the debt service that the asset is paying for. So that's something that we'll certainly look at moving forward. It's always a kind of a fine balance. Again, we would like to utilize pay-as-you-go and keep our debt levels as low as possible. But with that one, that's probably going to need a debt issuance to augment it.
Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we can proceed to the council liaison comments. Mayor Winfield.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to maybe build on some of the reporting that Mr. Gephardt provided earlier, specifically to the process of hiring a new town manager. You may or may not be aware, but we had approximately 40 applicants. That pool of applicants was narrowed down to 6 that the council interviewed virtually. That group was then narrowed down to 2 candidates that we brought here to the town of Oro Valley. We had a rigorous interviewing process. There were 3 panels: the council, a community panel, and then a staff panel. As a result of that, we did make a selection. Our human resources director has been in negotiation with that individual, and you'll see that there's been added to our agenda for tomorrow evening. He's agreed to the parameters that were provided. The individual that was selected, and it's on the agenda, is Mr. Jeff Wilkins. And so we're excited about that. In his contract, he'll start no later than July 1st of this year. So really pleased about that, and appreciate the staff's support through that process, and also our interim town manager, Chris Cornelison, who's been leading the staff and leading this budget effort now for several months. So I want to acknowledge Mr. Cornelison and his leadership this past several months. Also, tomorrow night's agenda, we have the Caliber Collision business for a, they're coming forward with a CUP. There's a self-storage that's being proposed. Our strategic leadership plan is being brought back to us. There's an item regarding school resource officers, and then our town manager. Of interest to you. Maybe we've also been going through a process of amending our parliamentary rules and procedures. Those are applicable not only to council, but to all boards and commissions. And so there's been some changes so that it reflects more that that document is applies to all of us and not just to council. So I expect that to be approved tomorrow evening, and that will be available for your review and use. But that's my report. I wanted to begin by saying I appreciate your service. Thank you for reviewing the budget. I know you'll have another opportunity to address some of your questions that you have about the proposed budget, but I always appreciate the questions and the dialogue that this commission provides in that regard. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Winfield. Are there any future agenda items from the commission? None. Okay. Do we have a motion for adjournment?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Okay, we have a motion for adjournment from Commissioner Carr, seconded by Commissioner Fortunato. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed. Thank you very much.